Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 395, the four stanzas. The Lord our God is good to all. From him all blessings flows. On all his works his tender love and mercy he bestows. And what follows, 395, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Isaiah 61. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then the day is already far spent. Thy mercies have been multiplied. The reasons for thanksgiving have greatly increased. Where thou wast given so many privileges and blessings above most of the people upon the face of the earth, then it is so indispensable that thou wert the first one in our life, but also in continuance, because otherwise, Lord, then thou shalt never receive the praise for all thy blessings, and yet thou shalt be glorified by all the children of men in the glorification of thy justice. May it please thee to grant a humble and a broken heart under all thy goodness. May it be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us and our children to repentance. Lord, we humbly ask thee, may thy church be multiplied. We have heard in this afternoon hour of a man with a measuring line measuring the holy city of Jerusalem. It would be such a large city. There was much room in that city. It was such a blessed city, a city without walls. But thou was promised to be a wall of fire, and thou was promised that there would be cattle. And, O Lord, many times it is necessary that thou maketh a breach in that wall, that thou givest certain permission to the enemies, and at other times that the number of those cattle are decreased, that thy church may be given to cry more fervently unto thee, that thy church may own their guilt, that thy church may be given to repent, that thy church may be given to beg for thy manifold blessings, for thy mercies, and also that that city, that it may be inhabited, O Lord, it must, and it shall be filled. May we and our children be included in that number. How terrible it shall be at the end, not converted, and then to come to a shut door, and then it shall be forever and forever too late. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thy word may be blessed, and that we and our children may receive a place by thy free and sovereign grace in that glorious city of Zion, where thou wast promised to dwell. May that be experienced in this hour, to experience thy blessed presence and to hear thy precious testimony. Oh, to feel thy loving embrace, ah, Lord. Wilt thou grant special tokens that thou knowest of us, leave and forsake us not. Wilt thou remember thy people above all things. May they fear to sin, to offend thee, to wound their consciences, to bring much darkness upon themselves, and a reproach to the gospel of Jesus Christ. May it please thee to bless the manifold means of grace. Wilt thou remember and help the consistory in their weighty and responsible task, who is sufficient to these things. May the souls weigh heavy upon the heart. Bless the instruction to the youth, catechism classes, the confession of faith class. Wilt thou bless the house visitation and all the other manifold labors. Bless the instruction in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers to that end. May in the family circles, may love abound, husband and wife, between parents and children. When it is not so, wilt thou grant a bowing of the knees, a repentance, a turning to thy holy word. What has been separated, wilt thou bring it together. Bless the labors in the Christian school, grant traveling mercies. Remember all those that labor therein. Wilt thou bless the simple instruction out of thy holy word. By renewal, we remember the manifold needs, all the mourning ones, the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones. Wilt thou remember the handicapped, with those that may care for them. Wilt thou remember those that are struggling with temptations and addictions, O Lord. Wilt thou help and wilt thou deliver them. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and prodigal daughters that have left us. O, do keep our dear youth under the old truth and under the old ways. Work lovingly and irresistibly in their young hearts, that they may become a living member of the living church. With that living King, then they shall never be put to shame, and then it shall be well for time and for eternity. We commend unto thee the nations of the earth, also our nation. Wilt thou remember our province, the premier, with those that stand at his side, with the governments of the cities, of the towns, also of our town, under these difficult circumstances, difficult days. Wilt thou grant wisdom and understanding. May there come an acknowledgement that thou art that supreme ruler over the heavens and of the earth, and that without thy blessing, that whatever we do, whatever we attempt, that it shall not avail. Lord, wilt thou grant unto thy church to turn from evil and worldly ways, to be given to follow hard after thee? Wilt thou continue to supply our daily bread, teach us more and more how dependent we are upon thee for all things, and to be given to trust in thee, and above all things, to be given to earnestly seek that we may receive a place in that city that has foundations and of whom thou art that eternal and that mighty King. Lord, we humbly ask thee for thy help in this evening hour. Wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers? Wilt thou be mindful of each ear? May the word not only enter the ears, but may it enter the heart, and may it be used for the saving of many souls, for the edification, the comfort, the instruction, and the correction of thy children. Lord, thou knowest how poor we are of self, but it is written in thy holy word, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all his troubles. Oh, it is the work of thy Spirit to make poor and to keep poor, but also to fill thy poorness with thyself and with thy blessings. May then the outgoing of this service and this evening hour be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 442, the stanzas 1 through 4. Our gracious God has laid his firm foundations on Zion's mount, the courts of his delight. Her gates of splendor, bathed in heavenly light, he loves far more than Jacob's habitations. And what follows, Psalter 442, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21, the question and answers 54 through 56. Question 54, what believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ? Answer, that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, defends, and preserves to himself, by his Spirit and Word, out of the whole human race, a church, a chosen to everlasting life, a green in true faith, and that I am and forever shall remain a living member thereof. Question 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer, first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of him and of all his riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know what to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. Question 56. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? Answer, that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. Lord's Day 21 speaks of the Holy Catholic Church of Christ. Three thoughts: the membership of this church, the communion in this church, and the forgiveness for the church. The Holy Catholic Church of Christ, the membership of this church, as we find it in number 54, the communion in this church, and number 55, and the forgiveness for this church, in number 56. Beloved congregation, when we consider this article concerning the Holy Catholic Church of Christ, then there is a different word than in former articles, where we read in the articles, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, and I believe in God the Holy Ghost. But now concerning this church, it does not say to believe in the church, but it says a church. Then there is a great difference. When we believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then we are given to trust and to believe in them for the salvation of our souls. But when we believe that means that the church confesses that she exists, but also the blessings of that church. Then we can understand when this article speaks of the Holy Catholic Church, that it speaks of a church, if we may say it so, with a capital letter, that is the Holy Catholic Church of Christ, those who by free and sovereign grace have become a living member of that living church with that living King. The church here below, that manifests itself in the external administration of the covenant. And there the Lord in His Word has promised to work in a special way. And to that end, may we be given to see and appreciate the great blessing to be under that external administration of the covenant. And my dear youth, to never leave that church. Because what a terrible thing it is when in the special providence of the Lord we have been born under that truth, and then at a time in our life to tell the Lord that we have no interest and no desire to stay under that external administration of the covenant. We read in Romans 3, the verses 1 and 2, what advantage then hath a Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? And then Paul has spoken that it is a great blessing because the oracles of the Lord, they are entrusted unto the church. And therefore, in the form for the administration of holy baptism, then we read, as members of His church ought to be baptized. In our confession of faith, in Article 28, there is written, no person ought to live separate from it, but all men are in duty bound to join it. Of course, to be only an outward member, many blessings promised for the time under the proclamation of law and gospel, under the prayers and the admonitions of the church, and where the Lord has promised in Matthew 18, verse 20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Then there is asked, what believest thou concerning the Holy Catholic Church? How are we to understand that word holy? What do you think, boys and girls, if we ask a true child of God whether they are holy, what shall they answer, perhaps, when it is lively and when it is tender? There shall be some tears. and nevertheless not holy in themselves, no. They have learned and do learn continually that they are black. But I read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 5, that the bride was given to declare, I am black, but also comely. And how is that now possible? Then it is a holy church through their head, the Lord Jesus Christ, Catholic. Then, children, maybe you think immediately of the Roman Catholic Church, but that is not the meaning. You can understand it. That word Catholic, that means universal. That means worldwide. John on the island Patmos, in Revelation 7, verse 9, then in a vision, then he was given to behold that redeemed multitude out of all nations, peoples, and tongues. Thus, that means that the church shall be gathered from all over the world. And to that end, the divine commission of Christ to the church, that glorious gospel must be proclaimed over all the earth. And it is one of the signs when the gospel shall be preached over all the earth, that the coming, the returning of the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. I have read of a man that he was not so supportive of missionary work. Was he stingy? No. He had a liberal heart, but he was so troubled with his soul. And he thought, if the gospel is now soon preached over all the world, and I do not have that assurance that I am part of that Holy Catholic Church, then it shall be forever too late. Of course, wrong reasoning. And nevertheless, a true concern in his heart that he needed to become a member, to be a member of that living church. The Church of Christ in the Scriptures, that is called by many different names. In Psalm 89, the congregation of the saints with those names, then we must examine ourselves, because saints, they are holy ones. They are a people who by the grace of God have learned what sin is, that it grieves, that it offends a holy and a righteous God, and that it brings wrath down upon the soul. In John 10, verse 16, oh, that text, and other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Another examination, whether we have become a little lamb, a lamb of that great shepherd, whether we desire the sincere milk of the word, and whether there is a growing. John 15, the vine and the branches. 1 Peter 2, the building and the temple. Oh, with the building of the temple of Solomon. Then Solomon has sent out those hewers and those that have hewn the stones out of the mountains to gather those cedar trees and those stones. And then they had to be shaped and formed. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, that they may become part of that spiritual temple. They are also called the Church of God, the Church of Christ, the bride, children, as sons and daughters of the Lord. When we speak of the church, then many times there is spoken of the visible church and the invisible church. That visible church, that is its manifestation here upon this world. That invisible church that is that work in the heart of us people, not to misunderstand that term, because it is true, we cannot look in each other's heart. And nevertheless, when the Lord works, then it becomes manifest by the fruits, by their confession, by their walk. The marks of the true church later in the catechism, that is the pure preaching of the Word of God, the administration of the sacraments according to the Word, and Christian discipline. Then we also speak there is only one church, that is the Church of Jesus Christ. A part of that church that is here upon the earth, that is called the militant church, because that church has a great warfare against that triple-headed enemy, and then they must learn not to war in their own strength, but that they need that king, that he may help, that he may guide, and that he may protect. That church triumphant, that is delivered, John was given to see them with long white garments and with palm branches in their hand, delivered from everything, not only from the trials, the consequences of sin, but to be delivered from self, from the devil, and from the world. And now in this Lord's Day, then we read of very precious things. We have already heard of those precious matters in this day, in this morning, of a church edified, walking in the tender fear of the Lord, comforted, and they were multiplied. Have we all asked in this day that the Lord may do it in the midst of us and our children in this afternoon? Then we have considered the third night vision of the prophet Zechariah, and then he was given to see a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, with a measuring line, we would say a tape measure, that the bounds of that city may be plotted out. And then the prophet was given to see that it was a large city. Then we have heard it, a city without walls, a city with cattle, a city without walls, but it would have a wall, because the Lord would be a fiery wall round about them. It is true, the Lord to test his people, and to stir up his people at many times, to bring them on their knees in truth and sincerity. Then he grants opening in those walls, that the enemies are permitted to attack. And then the cattle is decreased, that they may come in need, and that the Lord in that way, that he may magnify himself in the manifestation of his divine attributes, and that he may be glorified, that the Son of Man from the beginning to the end of the world, that is the time that we are living in, close to the end, that is that precious time of grace, that is the time when we must be wrought upon, that we must become new creatures in Christ Jesus. As I read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, that all things may pass away, and that all things may become new, from the beginning to the end of the world. Then the Lord is filling that holy Jerusalem with the inhabitants of the world, that the Son of God, that he gathers, that is through that new birth, that people may receive a place through the coming through the gate of regeneration and become an inhabitant of that holy city. He gathers, he defends. We have heard in this afternoon that the Lord is a fiery wall around about that city with those inhabitants, that is the Church of God, and preserves to himself. Thus do you hear it. It is the work of Christ. And Lord's Day number 20, then we have heard of the Holy Ghost and of his work, of his comfort, and abides with me forever. And now Christ, through his Spirit and Word, gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word. Thus in this Lord's Day, then it is implied the necessity of faithfully using the means of grace in the family circles, in God's house, and young people, also catechism classes. Oh, make sure that you never skip an opportunity. Can be the last time, and the Lord works by word and by spirit. Thus, let us never despise the means. Is it not mockery when we ask the Lord to convert us and we do not faithfully use the means? What would children think of a father who is a farmer and that every day at the table that he would ask the Lord to bless his labors? Also when a new growing season comes, and that father, when there was opportunity, that he would not go and work up his field and plant, then I think the children would think, Father, your prayer is nothing but a mockery, because we must use the means. Oh, it is true. It all depends upon the blessing of the Lord. Gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and Word out of the whole human race. has that now happened in our life, young and old? Have we been gathered? Has the Lord blessed His word? Can the Lord not say unto us in Isaiah 5 verse 4, what more could I do to my vineyard that I have not done unto it? Many times the Lord is so free. How He gathers His church, but never without the word. Romans 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many times the Lord also uses providential dispensations, for the one His goodness, His mercies, for another providential trials, for another a death in the family, but never without His word. Then surely the Lord speaks to us and our children in many ways. Have we been gathered on this Lord's Day? Then we may hear three times of that gathering of the church. Acts 9, multiplied. In this afternoon, that large city declaring that there is still room in that city for us and our children. And in this evening, the Son of God gathering His church out of the whole human race, a church chosen to everlasting life. Our instructors, they have not begun, but biblical, declaring that the church that is chosen to everlasting life, that is the church that shall be gathered. And then I hear people say, ah, that doctrine of predestination. Oh, I think if we are honest, we all have many questions. And the natural man shall never bow under that sovereign decree of God that is so personal and that is so unchangeable. This afternoon, when we have considered the third night vision of Zechariah, then he was given to see a large city that would be inhabited. But what did the Lord not show him? The Lord did not show in that night vision the book of life, that he could read all the names whom the Lord has chosen from that never-ending eternity that we do not read in that vision. That is Zechariah, if he would see those names, that he would go to a boy and tell him, you were chosen and another not chosen. No. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the revealed things for us and our children, to know His word and to remember His commandments to do them. Thus, who are chosen, that is hidden from us. May I ask you, congregation, oh, it is true, that doctrine of predestination. Many questions can lead to discouragement. The devil says you were not chosen, oh, used to use the means. Can even turn into bitter enmity. Ah, that is the carnal heart. The carnal heart of man is enmity against God and against his sovereign decree. But let me ask you in this afternoon, in this evening, if there was now no election, what then? There's now no predestination and no election. Have you thought about a congregation? What then? Then there would not be one saved. Then we would all know where we would spend eternity, in the bottom of hell. Thus, because that there is an election, that is the only hope for us and our children. And now we have that revealed word. We have heard it in this afternoon, that after Zechariah had seen that vision with that man with the measuring line, a large city with special privileges would be inhabited. Also the fiery wall, and where the Lord has promised to dwell in the midst of that city, and further promises of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we read in verse 6 and the further verses, the command of the king to come out of Babylon, to flee for our life's sake, and to be given to humbly beg of the Lord that we may receive a place in that holy city of God. What invitations, what exhortations in the Word of God concerning the church, concerning that city. What special promises, boys and girls, young people. I even read in Proverbs 8, verse 17, those that seek me early, they shall find me. Thus, now to begin with that doctrine, when the Lord opens it up a little for us people, what a comfort it is, one-sided, free and sovereign grace. They learn that the Lord has sought them out, and therefore they were given to seek the Lord. Concerning that city of God, all may come. By nature, none will come. And by the grace of God, those chosen ones shall come. May we be given to beg earnestly. John the Baptist and Christ have begun their preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Are there souls that are so troubled and so afraid that there is no room in that holy city for you? That have wept many a tear, filled with a holy jealousy for that people who may receive a place in that city, may be a soul afraid, too black, afraid that they shall not be let in. Let me ask you, soul, read in the Bible. Have you now come across one? A poor beggar, a poor sinner, burdened with her debt, troubled, perplexed, many riddles. Can you find one in the Bible that have come to the door of that city? That have knocked earnestly, it is true, Many times the Lord lets them wait that they may be uncovered further to learn that they have no rights. But have you come across one, a poor and a needy people? Ah, that is a people that cannot miss the Lord. That is a people that is burdened with their sin. That is a people that is such a vehement desire that they may receive a place in that city, not first for the gifts and for the protection and for the cattle. Ah, when that people may be given to see that it all comes from the Lord, then it becomes so precious. But do you know why that people have such a desire to receive a place in that city? That is because the Lord dwelleth in the midst of that city. There he delights to dwell, and there he speaks comfortably to his church. We have read together Isaiah 61, and there it speaks that the Spirit has anointed Christ, and what precious promises, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Ah, when the Lord works, then we become humble and then we become small. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Ah, they are brokenhearted ones because of their sin and of that missing. Ah, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And then in the furtherance of this chapter, also the ingathering of the church. Do we not read in Isaiah 43 verse 6, say to the north, give up, and to the south, hold not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. And in verse 13, I, the Lord, will work, and who shall let it? That the Son of God from the beginning to the end of the world gathers, defends, and preserves to himself by his Spirit and word out of the whole human race a church chosen to everlasting life. And then a few marks. Agreeing in true faith are their souls concerning that matter, concerning their faith, that they are given to lay it before the Lord. Lord, is it now really a true faith? Seems there is nearly all unbelief, but nevertheless, that people is given to believe. It is true, necessary, the further leadings. And then in the exercise of faith, and that I am. Oh, are there a few souls that you may say it? Oh, it is true, when the Lord comes over, and when those souls may glean a little on the field of Boaz more so, when Boaz may speak comfortably to their souls, then they must believe, and that I am, and forever, the instructors by renewal, glorifying a free and sovereign grace in the last Lord's Day concerning the work of the Holy Ghost, and abide with me forever. And now that I am, and forever shall remain, a living member thereof. What kind of member are we, congregation? There's a blessing when we may be a member that gives no offense, a member that walks not with or like the world, a blessing to be a helpful member. But have we now become a living member by the work of the Holy Spirit? Let us sing. Psalter 370, the first and the second stanza, how good and pleasant is the sight when brethren make it their delight to dwell in blessed accord, and what follows, 370, the two stanzas. The Holy Catholic Church of Christ. The membership of this church, and now secondly, the communion in this church. What do you understand by the communion of saints? We have mentioned it, a point of examination. Have we, by the grace of God, become a saint? Romans 8, verse 29, become conformable to the image of Christ. For God's people, the closer life they may have with the Lord, the more they shall experience that they are not saints, the more tears shall be wept. It is so necessary. Why the tears are wept when the Lord begins. But alas, so often it seems that further on the way, that those tears, they are so few. The holier that God's people may live, the more they experience of the depravity of their heart and of their sins. The communion of saints first, that all and everyone who believes, being members of Christ, Thus the instructor, they lay the foundation of the communion of saints. Many churches, they have only become social gatherings, social functions, much entertainment, recreation, that they may keep their people. But the communion of saints that flows forth out of the work of free and sovereign grace, that being members of Christ and grafted into the same vine, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. Thus the communion of saints that flows forth from their head, from Christ, and then by renewal they stress grace, first partakers of Him in grafting, born as a little lamb, and as a fruit thereof, of all His riches and gifts. And then the description, secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty. Thus then we read of an exhortation. Those exhortations are necessary because so often we seek our own things. Then it is necessary that we ask the Lord that we may be given to see the opportunities. Sometimes there are opportunities that we may do well, and that later we are given to reflect upon that opportunity, but that it is past. And therefore that everyone must know it to be his duty, readily and cheerfully, thus not only in the way of duty, it is a duty because first that everyone must know it to be his duty, but then the instructors in a few words, they are given to describe how it must be done, not that it is a burden, but out of the love of our heart, do we not read in Galatians 6 verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And in verse 10, as ye therefore have opportunity to do good unto all men, and especially unto the household of faith, that everyone must know what to be his duty, readily and cheerfully, Christ has said in Acts 20, verse 35, that it is better to give than to receive. And in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. Thus to employ our gifts, talents, time, goods, do we not read of those that have given a cup of water to the saints, readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members, thus not for our own honor. Ah, what a pride there can be. Thus in this answer, then the instructors are given to speak of love and of compassion, of the unity of the congregation of believers, and now for the advantage. But then the instructors do not only speak of the advantage, but that it may be used for the salvation of other members. And that concerning the believers, that with the gifts, that it may be as a raven from heaven, that those members may be given to see, that the Lord reigns over everything, As Psalm 50 verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 10,000, and that they may be encouraged for all things, to trust in the Lord, to expect all things from Him, and to the salvation of other members. Thus the necessity concerning the communion of saints, that it is accompanied with much and unceasing prayer, that in this concerning that communion, that God's name may be honored, the church may be edified, but that also His kingdom may come. Many examples in the Bible. We have not time in this evening to tell you of those examples. Of course, when the children come home, they need to go to bed. But then another evening, perhaps, then you can speak together that in the family circle, how many examples you can think of in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where the communion of saints have been practiced, experienced in a special way. All concerning that communion of saints, then we can speak of that spiritual communion, especially at the throne of grace, when the Holy Spirit grants the spirit of prayer and of supplication. What a blessing it is for a child of God when another member may be bound upon the heart, when the Lord even tells of their needs, that binds together in special ways and that shall not be forgotten. Also an ecclesiastical church communion, that is a congregation, still a blessing, when there is much love and when there is a much helping one another, also a material communion. Our third thought, the forgiveness of the church. Then in this Lord's Day, then it speaks of a benefit that the Holy Spirit grants unto His people, the full pardoning of their sins. This blessing is also spoken of in Lord's Day number 23, a word is spoken of as the prophet of true saving faith. And now what a precious answer that the instructors have given. And young and old, more we do not need, but with less we cannot do. And therefore may it be an enticement, not to rest till we may receive that special pardon. What believest thou concerning the forgiveness of sins? Answer, that God, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, then each time we hear it, that the instructors are given to point to that precious and adorable mediator who has paid the price for His church, that Christ, for the sake of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, neither my corrupt nature, against which I have to struggle all my life long, but will graciously impute to me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never be condemned before the tribunal of God. The Lord grant that blessing to us and our children for His covenant's sake. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank Thee for another Lord's Day and for a few words to speak, albeit with many shortcomings. And then three times, then we have heard of the multiplying of Thy church, of that city, of that holy Jerusalem, and in this evening hour that the Son of God, from the beginning to the end of the world, gathers, preserves, and defends by Spirit a word out of the whole human race, a church chosen to everlasting life. Lord, may that have taken place in this day. May there be a soul. May there be more. Ah, Lord, may there even be many. Were this day, they have listened so differently. A word has become so different. A word has all become real, that they have learned that with all the blessings for the time, that they are so poor, so needy, so wretched, all filled with a holy jealousy for those inhabitants who by free and sovereign grace may receive a place in that city, our Lord. We have heard that there is still room, and we may believe that where the truth may still be proclaimed, that there lies still a people under the seal of election. May we and our children be included in that work, ah, Lord. May it please thee to hasten and remember us and to save us and our children. Thou hast granted that we may commence another week. Well, to watch over us in the home. Remember the mothers with the children in the daytime, the night watches. Remember at work. Remember on the way. Remember at school. Well, thou keep us from harm and danger. Keep us from an unexpected, above all, from an unprepared death. We remember all those with special needs. Remember those that are weak and frail. Lord, well, thou watch over us in this night, and may the prayers be multiplied for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Remember tomorrow evening when the catechism classes, the confession of faith, when we may meet around about thy holy word. Wilt thou remember and help with the house visitation? Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee for everything. May that dependency be felt, and may all the labors be crowned with thy blessing. Wilt thou now be the faithful keeper, Israel, that watches over us in this night, and that we may awake in the morning for the duties that thou hast placed before us. Give strength, give courage. May our eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 83, the three stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows, Psalter 83, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.